Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Moses is a message. Got to get the message. The message to our brothers and sisters.
Lafia, greetings and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 here live. I am your advocate and I am your advisor, the one you need. I'm your emperor here to serve you on this occasion. We've been talking about reparation, the psychological traumas that slavery left on our people. What are they? And what is going on with us communicating? Why do we have such a difficult time in relationships? And is it because of the trauma, the post-traumatic stress syndrome that we've received from our ancestors? Because when we crossed the shores of the Pacific and came to America, were we damaged goods or did we acquire this behavior? Why is it so many African Americans have a terrible time communicating, expressing themselves, and there's a large amount of confusion all the time? Why is it that our communication lines are always whacked? What is going on? And the trauma we experience from relationships, it is unheard of, ladies and gentlemen. So it appears to me that we're suffering from some stress that has been brought on by previous lifestyles and possibly from the Middle Passage. That's what we're going to explore today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to look at where did the stress come from and the anxiety, and why are so many of us seeking help from the psychologist now, when in the past we always used our own talking cure. We talked ourselves through situation. Now you've got miscommunication. People thinking one thing, believing something, not confronting the other person to talk about it. And you know what happens when we assume things. We make a fool out of ourselves, and we have arguments, and there is confrontation all the time. Now, you don't have to worry about somebody else from another race doing something to us when we got the Willie Lynch theory alive and well in just about every community, every black community, and every black household. Why is it raising and yelling of voices and misunderstanding? Why can't they turn that volume down and sit down and converse back and forth? Are we having a stress moment where we relate it back to what our ancestors went through? Are we? Do you know if that's the problem? Come on, speak out. Call in the room and talk about what goes on in your home and behind closed doors, why you just can't seem to talk about or relate what it is that's going on and what you want out of life. Now, we've seen so many men now diagnosed with psychological stress, and mostly schizophrenic, when in the past they've never heard of the black man being diagnosed with schizophrenia. Now, you've got a disease that was primarily diagnosed by white female women. Now the black men are maxing out the numbers. What is going on? Are they really schizophrenic, or is this something that they got misdiagnosed on? We've got to figure out how to get our communication together. I noticed that even when it comes to the elderly and the young people, they cannot communicate together. You always have somebody trying to undermine the other person. The slave man mentality. We brought some slave man behavior with us back here from slavery, and we're still stuck on frozen viewpoint. We still are playing the games that the master used to play with us, like playing games with the mind, undermining the other person, thinking they won't figure you out. Well, we've got to stop it, ladies and gentlemen, because it causes a lot of confusion. And then we find out that the person who's trying to play the other one for a fool usually gets called out. That's right. And this thing about playing the dozen that comes from the African-American, always playing the dozen, undermining the other person, that's another thing called playing games. We are too old to be playing games. We have too many issues to really address. We got to say what we mean and mean what we say and stop trying to undermine the other person. We really do, because if we don't, we will find ourselves driving ourselves insane. And that is not what we want to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to call in those drummers in here because you know the emperor is in the house. And as I come in, I must be greeted with a drum roll. Where are the drummers? Drummers, will you please come in with my drum roll? Thank you, please. We're going to get those drummers in here no matter what it takes, ladies and gentlemen, because we know they bring in the music for us. Drummers, where are you? Here they are. They're coming right in. They play so great. Don't you all agree? Thank you so much for joining us, drummers, because I needed this drum roll today. Because this is a Tuesday, and we want to bring the word to you hard and heavy. The emperor is in the house. I am here to serve you. Whatever you like, I am here at your command. Right into the power of faith.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith in a heart? Follow me when I rise, and my fears bring tears to my eyes. Will our hope be realized? Will our children survive? Will they see freedom in their?
Are we deteriorating in the mind? Is there more Alzheimer's or dementia going on in the black race? What is happening to the strong mind that we once had? Are we looking over our shoulder to remember what we used to be, to determine what we can be? Are we confused in our thinking? What is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, we created the Talking Cure as a self-help tool to take the place of our psychiatrist. For those of us who wanted to have naturopathic help rather than going to an allopathic doctor, we created the Talking Cure. And every day in this room, we utilize the Talking Cure to talk ourselves out of our minds. We want to get them out of our mind, you say, Omi. That's right. So we can get in our right frame of mind. That's why we take at least an hour to present to you the Talking Cure as we begin to talk to ourselves and bring ourselves right back into a subconscious mind of being asleep to work out our problems in the subconscious mind. Because we are busy hearing from outside people that are not a part of our world every day. And we become confused, and we become like those that we are trying to get away from. We become just like those. We start becoming short-tempered. We begin to undermine each other, playing games that other races play. We begin to use the Willie Lynch techniques. Instead of pulling our brothers up by the bootstrap, as we say we're doing, and we're helping our brothers, we begin to push them down and to overshadow them by pointing the finger at what a great job we're doing to help them, when in fact we're pushing them down under every circumstance and situation we can. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The Talking Cure was created so you can get back into your right frame of mind. That's right. Because so many of us are out of our ever-loving minds. When we come in this room, we are so frustrated with the problems we are encountering with our own brothers and sisters. Well, you don't have to anymore, ladies and gentlemen. You can go and take yourself right into a mantra, a meditational talking cure, to take yourself away from the problems of the day-to-day cumbersome, idiotic behaviors. When you're playing games with children all day long, it makes you ignorant just like the children that you play games with. You must remember that we are old folks. They don't know a time when we weren't here. We are the elders here, and we must put away the things of a child and stop playing childish games. Have you ever known in your household when there was a lot of confusion and arguing? It was usually people playing childish games. That's right, childish games. Then they want to admit to the fact that I'm grown, and you don't have to tell me what to do because I'm grown. But why are you playing childish games? This is what I want to know, ladies and gentlemen. We have them in every household. Somebody who stoops so low to play the games of a child, but yet they want to be treated like a full-blown adult. Then you have to act your age and not your attitude. And the reason why I say that is we get an attitude that we can play stupid and silly games with our loved ones and wonder why they're not responding. Most of the time, elders can see through you and read you like a book. If you don't believe me, sit around with someone that is used to playing games all the time and watch and count the number of games that they try to put you through. Well, we're going to end that today. African Americans, I want you to stop your game playing. And the games that you play with each other to hurt each other, they are not nice. And I want you to know that you have to do better than what you're doing. You have got to understand that you're not psychologically mad and out of your mind. You're only driving yourself crazy because you're playing the games that other folks usually play in their household. Now, our households are not ran that way, and I want you to know that. We've been old people for a long time. Did you not know that a youngster at the age of 12 can function fully like an adult? That's right. If you train a youngster well, actually at the age of 12, they're fully grown. But where have we gone wrong when we're raising children to continue to be childlike up until the age of 18? We give them no experiences. We hold them responsible for nothing. And we don't require them to be anything or be better than what we are. But we always say, but I want to give them more than what I've ever had. He's going to have more than I had. He's going to have the best. So what are you giving them that you didn't have? You got to give them some common sense and a peace of mind. All of this material getting and getting and getting means nothing when there's nobody upstairs at home. What you're driving your child to do is to function under the pretense that material things has to be gotten every time they make an accomplishment in their life. You have to understand that the mind needs to be fed. You have to give your children a chance to sharpen their knives for critical thinking skill. This is what you can give them so that their mind is sharp and quick, like a two-edged sword, cut going in and cut coming out. It's the best thing you could give your child is the chance to process and understand and to be able to think on their own feet. Those are the things that no one can take away from them. Their material things can be put up in boxes where moths can get to them, and they can be stored in places where they can be stolen. And once you give your good gifts to them, they can be taken away. But the mindful things that you give them to stand on their own two feet can never be taken away. Try giving your children and loved ones things that they can store where moths can't get to it. Now, I'm going to challenge each and every one of you to stop playing your foolish games on the workforce, in the home, with your children, with your husband. Quit undermining each other. Quit doing it, because I see it every day. Playing the fool like the slaves used to do. Cutting and acting a fool like the slaves used to do. You did that buck dance for the master. You don't have to do it for your brothers and sisters. You can put away that foolishness. And that's why we have the talking cure, to bring you back to your senses, to remind you of who you once were. And whatever ails you, you can talk yourself out of it and use your own psychology to heal thyself, physician. Let us get ready to go into talking cure in a minute. Before we go into talking cure, I want to remind you, get your mantras out. Chant your mantras. Ask your higher self to be present to help you through psychological debriefment is what we take you through every day of your life. You too can create a psychological debriefment in your own living room, in your own bedrooms, while you meditate and chant on a mantra and take yourself through a talking cure to heal thyself, physician. Let's get ready to go, because we need this more so than we need anything else, is to debrief ourselves from the nonsense that we have to go through on a day-to-day basis, on our jobs, in our homes, with our loved ones who've gone half mad and crazy out of their mind. They come home with this nonsense after being in the world rubbing shoulders with people who have different socializations than ourselves. And when they come home, we look at them and see that they're different, and we tolerate their idiotic behaviors and say, these are childish games which I refuse to play. I will not play childish games with you. We must simply grow up. Let us take deep breaths now as we think and go into the talking cure. I am going to prepare myself to debrief myself. This debriefing moment will bring me to my consciousness as I pour the libations to the four cardinal directions and cleanse myself, and we go into the talking cure. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now proceeding into the talking cure where you can heal thyself. As I pour libations to the west, I say libation to the west. As I pour libations to the east, I say libations to the east. As I pour libations to the south, I say libations to the south. As I pour libations to the north, I say libations to the north. As I take the water and wash my hands, I wash my hands and my face so that I do not greet the Creator with a stale face. Libations. I call on my ancestors. I call on my ancestors on my mother's side of the family. And I set a glass of water before my mother's people. And I say, so be it, so let it be done. As I set a glass of water for my father's side of the people, I say, so be it, so let it be done. As I light a candle for my mother's side of the people to light the way, I say, so be it. The light has been lit. Please find your way back home. As I set a candle in front of my father's side of the people so that the light will be lit so that he may find his way home with his family. And I say, Ashe. I call on Robert Jenkins. Ashe. I call on the spirit of Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. I call on the spirit of Tommy Harvey, Ashe. I call on George Lilly, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Nisha Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. I call on Emmanuel Day, Ashe. I call on Elijah Day, Ashe. Avery Day, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I call on Tom Harvey, Ashe. Michael Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. I say, so be it. So let it be done. As we call on those ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, we pray that we're able to allow the ancestors to come and sit with us as we consult them for direction. Oh, ancestors, give us a direction for our life that we might know the rearrangement that was done through the middle passage. Help us to see the psychological rearrangement that was done through our family. Help us to understand that we alone have played a part in this psychological rearrangement, and we ourselves must undo the psychological rearrangement through the Willie Lynch theory. We will stop and discontinue this Willie Lynch theory so it will be no more. Help us to be able to see the problems in our lives of miscommunicating. Help us to see this childlike behavior that we're demonstrating amongst ourselves, playing crazy and playing games of children. Help us to be more wise and help us to be able to heal our psychic so that we can begin to hold on to the best part of ourselves, that is our mind. And if we say we're going to give our children gifts, let us give our children the gifts that no one can take away. Help us to give our children the gifts that they can utilize in the end time and sharpen their gifts to the ability that they may be cunning and wise and gifted, not where they are slowful in their thinking and challenged in their ability to process. Help us to be able to process. Show us how to hold on to our mind, O African one. Show us how to be wise in our thinking and cunning as a dove. Yet we have lost our ever-loving mind, playing childish games like our friends, like our non-melanized friends have played with their families. We have brought these same behaviors into our home. Help us to understand that we are the wise ones. Help us to be able to go back and clinically clean up the problem in our lives and our family lives so that we can better communicate and not have to function with a deficit. Help us to be able to understand that having the ability to recall short-term memory and long-term memory is not something that old folks get. Help us to understand that we can go on into our elderly youth with a keen and kind and a sharp mind. We don't have to lose our mind just because we're becoming aged. We can maintain our mind as we look over our shoulder at the Sankofa bird. The Sankofa bird reminds us what we used to be so we can determine our future for today. There is no present, only the past. As we advance ourselves into the future, we cannot go in as weak-minded people, but we must remember as time passes on, a little bit of our consciousness depreciates. But we can get it back. We can get it back as we use the tools that God has given us to sharpen our minds. Help us, ancestors, to help ourselves. Help us to be our own psychologists. Help us to go into our quietness of our own room in our heart and let us see ourselves for what we are. Help us to be able to talk ourselves out of this nonsense and speak things that be not as though they were. Help us to be able to be mindful of our children, keeping their right conscious mind. There are so many of us young children today who have lost their minds and lost hope. Help us to bring them back. Help us to show them how to hold on a little longer. Hold on a little longer, I say, my brother and my sister. You are not losing your mind. Time is not getting away from you. You are whole and you are free. Hold on to your freedom. Freedom is something you have to fight for, and your mind too. You must fight for your mind, because the war is on the mind. Also exercise the mind as a muscle so that you keep it sharp and that it will not become atrophy and you lose. We are not losing our minds today. We are finding ourselves. We don't have a diagnosis of psychotic. We don't have a diagnosis of bipolar. We don't have the diagnosis of schizophrenia, anxiety, but we have the mind of Christ. We have so we have an oreath and we share the light of the sun. There is nothing abnormal about us. We are whole and all attributes lack together. Remind yourself of that every day and call things that be not as though they were, and you will have what you say. Take a deep breath, breathe in and out. I'll synchronize my vital signs with yours as you synchronize your vital signs with me. We are one in spirit and one in mind. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing out the oxygen of putrefaction. Breathing in the oxygen of regeneration. We are regenerating myself. I renew myself and I grow young again. I have put myself back together, as the ancient one said, and I renew myself and grow young again. As our minds begin to grow young again, help us to be mindful of the fact that it is our diet that has the ability to rearrange our molecules. Let us rearrange ourselves in a strong way. in a strange way, we are aliens, and we are not from this world, but we can revamp and renew ourselves. You don't have to lose your mind. And because your ancestors went through the middle way passage of the annals of the ship, you don't have to lose your mind. You can find yourself again. Call on your ancestors, Eli. Call on your ancestors, and they will pick you up. And they will make you strong, and they will show you your mind once again is still with you. Call on your ancestors today. They can show you how to get back to yourself. A mind is a conscience that you always want to sharpen, and a mind is one that you must use as a muscle. Remember that we're not going crazy, and we're not out of our mind, but we've got to get them out of our right mind. Come back to your senses, I say, as you meditate on these words. Come back to your senses. Your right mind has been waiting for you all the time. It's just your left mind that is dominating over your right. Take control and balance out the mind in duality. Take control of the right side of the brain and balance out your mind in duality. We are whole and we are free. Not let your mind become in bondage by no man. Guard the mind and the heart, because from it comes the issues of life. I'd like to thank you for going on the talking tour with me. And from time to time, talk your way out of your madness. And from time to time, bring yourself back from your psychotic thinking and go into a consciousness. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. You are whole and you are free. You are whole and you are free. Let us go in to the sanctuary as we become whole and free. We are going into the sanctuary. Ladies and gentlemen, what we went through was a talking cure to cure our alien mind, to help us to find our mental capacity so that we can function on all levels. We know that the mind is powerful, and it will play tricks on you if you let it. Do not let the mind play tricks on you. What you're seeing is only an illusion. You are perfect and whole in the mind of God. What you are seeing is an illusion. It doesn't exist. What God has created, He has made whole. You are not deficient or lacking in anything. The memory of your ancestors and redeem your mind and redeem the time. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gone through a talking cure so that you can see that periodically you can go through a psychological talking cure to heal yourself of any deficits that you or your loved one might be having. And if you are suffering from the middle passage strain and struggle from mental capacity or deficits, you can go through the talking cure on your own, and you can talk out your solutions. Yes, we have been rearranged, and some of us are out of our ever-loving mind. If we are acting out and functioning like the way we're doing now, we have lost our ever-loving minds. When you talk to some of the youth, and they are so irate and angry, and they're looking for someone to lash out at, and they want to have a villain, somebody they need to be going after, then they've lost their mind. Most of them know they're supposed to be in a war, but they're warring with the wrong person. Time and time again, you see so many youth who thinks that there's an enemy out there somewhere. But the enemy has been developed within. And we've cultivated this enemy through our anger and our hatred. But we can rearrange that today. That's a byproduct of slavery. That is a concept that we can change. That is an after effect of slavery. Why you say that, Ominga, that I've got these anger problems because of slavery? Yes, it could very well be an aftermath of slavery. You might not even know it, but your mother may have had it, and her sister may have had it, and it may be a release that nobody ever got, so they carry that anger all the way in the lineage of the seed until it was birthed. So therefore, you are suffering from a post-traumatic stress that came from the annals of slavery. That's right. And if you are, could you still be wondering if you could be apprehended, if you could be incarcerated? Yes, every day of our lives as African Americans, we're afraid. We're afraid of who might come and try to overtake us again. We're afraid of being pulled over. We're afraid of being incarcerated every day of our life because we don't want to ever experience that emotion again that our ancestors had to experience. We don't want to be a part of that madness again that we get so angry that we want to lash out. We don't want that. Then do we need treatment, you say, Omi? Do we need some type of sedative or behavior modification to help us? Yes and no. We need an avenue of somewhere to go, to vent, first of all, and then to use a behavior modification to get ourselves back on track and to bring us out of this madness and anger. Some of us have heard stories about the slave trade, and what has happened to our ancestors and have gone ragingly mad out of our mind. When I heard the story of the people going back to Africa to tour through the ships and the underground of where the slaves were being held as they went through the door of return, the anger that welled up in the eyes of the people who experienced reliving this adventure again was as bad as an animal who needed to be caged. And if you get that angry and bottle it up inside, it can become dangerous, very dangerous. But why would something get you that angry, Omi? Or why would something get someone else that angry? It's because you think of a human being being reduced down to the level of an animal and that you don't want to see anyone else go through those violating conditions. Is there a treatment of some sort that we need? Do we need a sedative, or is there some kind of pill that somebody can put together and mix up and give us to give us that happy juice again? Or then why do so many people gravitate to the ganja and they say, I need to get me a peace of mind. Can you tell me where I can get a peace of mind? Because they're still going through something today. So they seek after the ganja as a sedative to bring their mind to a point where they're not angry anymore. This anger, you say, Omi, did it derive from slavery? Did somebody put that on us? Like the slave masters, did they make us angry like this? You might not be very angry now, but maybe your ancestors were once very angry and it's been passed down to you. So every now and then you experience that same anger and rage. How can it be corrected? How can you use a debriefing method to heal people that are going through this? You talk about it. That is the number one cure, to talk about the anger you feel and to let it out. It's almost a grieving period as you go through. Let it out, discuss it, explain what you're feeling, make someone hear you out so that you're not cut off and you are fragmentally bringing closure to your life. You must bring closure to the hurting pain. You must bring closure to your feelings. And once the closure is brought on a day-to-day basis or weekly basis when you have therapy, you become less and less of an angry person. and you debrief yourself, then why aren't there debriefing camps all over the therapeutic hospital? Why are there so many psychiatrists trying to give you the same treatment that they give Caucasian for different problems? We need different therapeutic treatment for the African American. We don't have the same problem that Europeans have. They don't have a problem with going to the bank account and finding that they're bearing on zero in their bank account. They don't have that problem. They don't have the problem of applying for a job, and when they get there, there's four other white candidates who they know are going to be picked over them. They don't have that problem. And they don't have that problem when they go downtown to get some furniture, and this is their first time being married, and they need to get furniture, and they got to get, instead of getting a whole dining room set, they get two pieces of this and two pieces of that, and then they worry how they're going to get the rest of it. They don't have that problem. They don't have that problem when they're just on the borderline of being eligible for food stamp, and one extra dollar makes a difference where they're not eligible, and now they have to scrape and make ends meet off of the small amount of money they have. They don't have that problem. So therefore, our treatment cannot be like theirs. What did you say, Omi? We need different psychiatrists. We can't use the European psychiatrists. That's right. I said we need different psychiatrists for different problems. What ails us don't ail everybody else. And what hurts us mentally doesn't hurt everybody else. Then, Omi, why could you say that? We've got all these psychiatrists here, and their one training is the same training for the blacks. No. Some of the black psychiatrists are even saying they can no longer treat us with the training that they've received from the traditional Caucasian institutes. They can no longer treat us with the same tools. They have had to come out of their bag and out of their element to treat us because they themselves knew that the materials they were using, like Naeem Akbar, knew that the methods that they were gaining from the psychology school, they knew that the techniques they were using weren't working. They knew this, and they readily came out and said that they're not psychiatrists. Whereas psychology undermines the person to treat them, that they could not use that technique to treat African Americans, that it could no longer undermine us African to treat him or her. So therefore, the treatment and training that they prepared and that they learned through 4 years of school or 6 years of school cannot be adapted for a black individual. Why is that, you say, Omi? Because Africans at one time never saw psychiatrists. They went to the medicine man, and the medicine man drew a circle. On a regular basis, we were debriefed, and we were able to talk ourselves through any problems that we might have been experiencing, and we did that on a routine basis, so our minds didn't get rearranged. So that our minds didn't become unraveled. So we didn't have access or need for a psychiatrist because we were our best psychiatrists where we worked together under a we concept and not an individual I concept. You remember that term that I spoke in the African Proverbs? I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. We had a tribal concept. What the tribe thought, we considered it. We talked about it. We negotiated. We worked in groups and listened to what the tribe had to say, considered what the tribe had to say, and made our final decision on a tribal concept and belief. Now we are so individualized and independent, it doesn't make sense. Well, I think, you know, I'm going to, I'm a finna do. We're always into I. When you leave us to ourselves, we become vulnerable and weak, and the mind becomes weak and vulnerable too. and is visible for attacking and rearranging. And that is what has happened to a large portion of us. Now, when you saw those Haitians go through the devastating hurricane, their minds didn't just become unraveled. They didn't just go out of their mind after they saw that. They were so angry to the point of rearranging their own mind because of what they saw and because of the lack of help that they didn't receive. But how do you rearrange that, you say, Omi? You send in an African that is a naturopathic doctor to tell them to rearrange their thoughts, to let it go, stop the blaming, let the anger go, and begin to heal their mind and begin to see that the anger does them no good, it only hurts them. That's why it's important for us to forgive. We're forgiving for the benefit of ourselves so that we don't drive ourselves insane. It helps us so that we can stand before God pleading and asking on our own account. But if you have not forgiven, you do not have the right to stand before God asking for anything in your name or in the other person's name. You must remember that cleansing of the soul is good for you every day. And Africans believe in cleansing the soul so that when you went to sleep at night, your mind was free. You had no second thoughts about how you treated someone or what you did or didn't do. The mind was forgiven. But if we have to ponder these things in our heart, of forgiving people for the idiotic, ignorant things they do, and we can't release them, guess what? Then we can't release ourselves. We have to release those people, let them go, because vindication is the Lord. It is not for you to vindicate yourself. And all this harm that you want to do to someone else, you got to release yourself of it. If you don't, you're going to do harm to yourself psychologically. Now, I'm telling you what I know. Psychologists were not created for the African. We're our own best psychiatrists in the spirit. But we had something called psychotropic conditions where we can take the same medicine a Caucasian takes, a psychiatric condition, and it could rearrange our minds where we could never come back. Our acid base is not based on a strong enough acid base to break down certain formulas. Our mind and our liquid substance in our body is based more on an alkaline. You cannot give us the same drugs that you give Caucasian and think you're going to get the same response for psychiatric disorders. And some of the known psychologists should know this. They should know this. And you cannot give a psychotic drug without giving a behavior modification, a change of patterns. Then why are so many of us African Americans receiving psychotic drugs with no behavior modification plan to follow it? Is it because the money is so short that you can give the drug and don't monitor it with any type of behaviors? You will not get an outcome. You will not get a pleasant outcome or a positive outcome because that person will be under a psychotropic, psychedelic high, and they will be out of this atmosphere, gone, lost. We can't allow this. We can't allow someone to put our people in further psychological bondage by giving them psychotropic medicine that will send them on a high where they can't come back. So what do you propose then, Omi? I'm proposing that we teach our people to go and do a psychological therapeutic talk to bring themselves back and have someone there to help debrief in a circle to talk with people of our own kind. so that when we talk this thing out, we begin the healing process. We begin to feel better about ourselves. And once the tribe endorses what we're doing, we begin to feel like we're connected again. We begin to feel like we are part of the earth. And we begin to take our shoes off and let our feet hit the ground where the earth, the very earth, begins to talk to our melanin and tell us how to get our balance again. Most of us are off balance, ladies and gentlemen. We are way off balance, and we have so much anger that we've been holding on, and it puts us in a trance. And the average person is walking around in a trance, and we need to be brought back. We're like zombies walking around in a trance because of the anger that we allow to be put upon us. Anger from not getting employment, anger from not feeling like we're connected to society. We can be brought back, but you must give up the anger, and you must seek help from a trained priestess that knows what they're doing so that we're not stuck on frozen viewpoints and on medication that we cannot benefit from. If you're on medication, taking medication, and you're questioning what is going on in your mind and what is happening to you, go back for a second opinion. If you feel like that your whole family is exemplifying the same psychological trauma or inability to go forward in their life, and the depression is there all the time, and they're feeling remorse and grief, then you need to see somebody, somebody that has skills, preferably, that is a priestess or a priest who is trained in this area. And that didn't mean to run and see just about any psychologist, because every psychologist won't know what to do. Some of you are suffering from trauma that your mothers and fathers experienced. Some of you are suffering from depression and anxiety that you are experiencing right here from sorrow. When you don't understand death and you put your loved ones away and you see so much trauma of death and heartache and separation from this world when their children leave in a psychotic way or when they're transitioning out of here in a devastating death, you need to have grief therapy and need to be brought back so that you can be rearranged and relieved from the past trauma that you've seen. Trauma is all over the place, you say, Omi. That's right. Trauma is everywhere, and mostly in the inner city, and mostly in the black communities. How do you get around it? How do you get help? You talk to your preachers, and you ask them to bring someone into your congregation that can deal with the group on a tribal basis to deal with you in a method, not just prayer, but a chance for you to meditate, to chant, and to come back to yourself. Talk to your ministers and tell them, we're African people. We need to see tribal people that can help us. Prayer is a form of behavior modification. I want you to know that. And meditation is also. And if you don't already know how to meditate, you need to start looking up on the web how to meditate and how to get meditation in my life so that I can better myself mentally, physically, and spiritually. We're going through a suffering of something that is mentally, spiritually, and physically, because it will manifest itself in a spiritual side effect. There are so many young people now receiving psychotic drugs. They can't face the world, and they rather slip into darkness, into another world of psychotropic medicine. It is not the way to go, my people. If you are taking psychotropic medicine and you want to get off the merry-go-round and you want help, you must seek help for yourself. We know that part of this is direct result of post-traumatic slave syndrome and slavery. How can you prove it, you say, Omi? There are several methods that can be used to prove it. However, while we're still trying to prove this, is a part of a genocide, and we don't have final direction on that yet, you can get some help for the madness. You can stop the merry-go-round by getting in talking cure sessions to talk it over with other people and to talk out your own problem and find your own solution. You can be a channel for others. If you found a way to get help for yourself, be a channel. Direct someone else to that way that they can get help. But don't just continue taking the drugs and thinking that this is all you need. You need a way of life. You need a behavior modification to show you how to live differently once you come out of this trauma. You need to be debriefed. How many of you would like to be debriefed today? How many of you would like to have freedom in your life, a way of thinking, and have freedom to transition into sleep without worrying about your past so much or your future? If you're out there, raise your hand. And if you need that help, it is available to you. Go online and Google therapeutic meditation. Google priestess and priest and see who's out there that can help you. There are plenty of people just waiting for you to call. And if you're out there now, you can call in right now at 646-478-0270. Call in right now because this thing isn't going to go away overnight. It's going to take people to come together in a tribal format to talk about their cumbersome problems and to try to air out their issues and to go into a trance and to meditate on a daily basis to heal thyself, physician. That's what this room is all about, the talking cure, how to heal yourself psychologically, how to go back to your traditional beliefs and see that most of your trauma comes from post-traumatic stress syndrome of what has happened through the Middle Passage and what is currently still happening in your communities. Some way you can become debriefed. You can get that service. It's available to you, and you can be debriefed. It's very important that you understand what has happened in the reparation. And how we deal with reparation will also depend on how you deal with your psychotropic behavior, because you cannot be out of your mind trying to go into a new world. You've got to rearrange those patterns so that your mind is on straight and that you've got your right frame of mind, because when you begin to work in a circle with other people, you can't be out of your other loving mind. And some of us, the way we do things and handle things, we've got to be out of our ever-loving mind. We do not need to lay a brother down when we don't like what he or she is saying. We do not need to say rock-a-bye baby, putting somebody out of this system. We do not need to handle our business in a manner where it calls for us to hurt or avenge our brothers and sisters. We've got to be out of our ever-loving mind. If every time we pick up a gun, we're going to do what the slave masters did to us. We're going to beat a brother near to death and then shoot him 6 or 7 times to make sure he did. We've got to be out of our ever-loving mind when we pick up arms against our own people. You're looking at yourself, and you must remember that this rearrangement and anger, you got to get it under control. Go to a trance and take yourself back and get this anger off of you, because the way we're doing our children, mistreating them, and the way that we look at our loved ones and mistreat them, and this anger is what has been besetting us all along. We've got to be out of our ever-loving mind. And when we say we love somebody, we cannot have near kill them or choke them to death and then say we still love her. We love him. She belongs to me. If you want her, set her free or set him free. Do not put yourselves in length and arm's way harm by doing injustice to one another. This psychological trauma that we experienced from slavery has carried over into this anger. Have you noticed so many young people with a short temper? They don't have the patience for nothing. They don't want to be told anything. They're just moving on, and they don't have time to be taught or learning from other people's experience so that they can avoid the pitfall. We've got to be out of our ever-loving mind. We've got to be out of our ever-loving mind and must rearrange our molecules to get back in our right frame of mind. We've got to be out of our ever-loving mind if we rob stores and break in and take things for a small amount of money and then become incarcerated for life. We've got to be out of our ever-loving mind. Now we got to get right back into our right frame of mind. And we got to be out of our ever-loving mind if we have a profession of going into the department stores and stealing for a living and functioning as if it's stuff that we deserve and it's ours. You got to be out of your ever-loving mind if you want to stockpile other people's stuff and you think material things are the things that will make you feel like you've made it in life. You got to be out of your ever-loving mind. We need help, people. We need help. We need therapeutic talking cures all over the congregation, all over the community. Somebody needs to be walking around with the mantra, chanting, praying that they don't go outside of the boundaries to hurt somebody outside of themselves. We've got to be out of our ever-loving mind if we're having more suicide cases than we ever had before. So we've been rearranged, you say, Omi. You got the picture, right? We've been rearranged. Then what do we do about it? We make a change. We find talking cures. We create talking cures. We help people to come into the mantras and meditation so they can begin to have a personal lifestyle and go into self-help therapeutic clinics to help themselves. And that didn't mean find a physician. It means that you use the tools to help yourself. And that didn't mean to go get another psychiatrist to harness up on all them drugs and psychotropic medicine so you can be on a cloud 10. That didn't mean go back and get another pharmaceutical prescription. That means go somewhere and get some self-help. We could do this, and we're going to have to do it. Nobody's going to do it for us. Any culture or any race that has helped themselves or had help, it came from their own race of people. Nobody from the outside is going to love you anymore to bring you help. Quit waiting for the white man or the Caucasian to bring you help for your problem. Define your problem and make the correction and do the self-help work. Nobody's going to love you any more than you love yourself. This psychotic thing, we can get over it. This psychotic behavior, we could rearrange it and turn it around. But you need to have the help of a designated time daily that you're going to come together as a group. And you need to purposely put it in the churches so that it's done on a regular basis and cut out so much of that sanctification stuff and glory be to God, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Cut some of that out and some of that music and go through a therapeutic debriefing. This is where you go get your help. Not where you go to make your donations. It's where you go to get your help. Now, you've made your deposits already. It's time for churches to debrief and change their whole program and bring in a therapeutic program that will really debrief, a 21-day program like we had, for example. But you've got to find another way. We cannot get any more crazier and max out these prisons. We cannot keep doing stupid things and max out the prison. We've got to talk to you about this because some of these things we could turn around. I know some people's getting locked up for no reason and foster cases, but there's some that are being locked up for things that they shouldn't be doing. And we've got to talk to you about it, and the preacher's got to stop patting you on the head, taking your donations, and not telling you. We've got to say something about it. If we're ever going to get over the grain house, and if we're ever going to get to Ile Ife, we've got to get there with a sane mind, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot be out of our ever-loving mind. I refuse to sleep next to a brother or sister that's out of their ever-loving mind because that's why we have this problem. And I don't want those black folks with me. I don't want those low-life with me. I don't want those lower socioeconomics around me. Those people make our property. We become separate, and we say those people and them and us and they because we've got some of us that don't connect with the others who are doing foolish things that disgrace our race. We've got to become one again. But you cannot expect to become one when you're doing things that make you an alien. You got to understand, these alien behaviors are not fitting for this earth. You cannot function at that capacity of stealing, robbing, lying, and cheating, prosecuting, and you cannot live in this manner and think that things are going to beset you that are good. Churches have got to speak out, and they've got to offer better programs. It's time to rearrange the programs that the churches have and give more power to the people. For God's sake, you got to give more power to the people churches. You can't keep taking that money, telling them to keep believing in the sweet by and by without making them a better person. You make them a better person by training them and rechanneling their minds to live in a better world and to create a better world for themselves through being a better human being with EYPELU, good character and good conduct. On that note, I want to say that what we are trying to do here in giving you the understanding that reparation is something you're entitled to, but you're dealing with all kind of traumatic behaviors that need to be dealt with. So most of the money needs to go into traumatic treatment plan for the people who have nearly gone off the map with their mental capacity. And there's some of us, every day of our life, we don't know what to do with ourselves. So we inflict pain on ourselves, and we become more suicidal to ourselves and damage ourselves. We need a mind rearrangement. We need a mind rearrangement. We need a mind rearrangement, and we can do it for ourselves. We don't need anybody to tell us that. We know that some people have gone flat-footed, crazy, out of their mind. But we can bring them back. We can bring them back and help them have a desire to live a better frame of mind. We can do it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's come together. I know we can do it, black and white. And we're going to have to call on the Caucasian to tell them, listen, Caucasian, we need your help. We need you to leave us alone for a minute as we get cleaned up. We need you to let us go into our therapeutic health centers and get the cleansing and washing we need to make us a better people. We're not at ourselves. We have left ourselves, and we are in someone else's frame of mind. Give us a chance to become better people so we can live with ourselves and others can live around us and with us. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you in the air tomorrow, same time, same place, on the same subject, reparation. And ladies and gentlemen, what I want to say to you is this, that tomorrow we'll be back on the same subject and same topic. Please come in with your question, and let's talk about it, please. I'd like to hear from you. Thank you so much. You've been a great support. And I say on that note, Baba Booey to you, y'all, and we'll see you tomorrow. Oh, double.